a special treat for me and for the church this morning. Our former W&I former pastor, Pastor Joe and Joanne, are here to share the word today. And you've heard me speak of my former pastor and how they've raised us up, and I'm so honored that you're going to get to be able to meet them as he gives the word. I just want to say once again, they have been so instrumental in our life, and today is just going to be a great day to be able to honor them and some things that we're going to do. And I just want to say thank you for pouring into our life, and he has a great word for us today. Do you want to get up and share anything together? Okay. Yep, come on. Pastor Joe and Joanne, let's just give them a hand. Pastor Joanne has taught me how to cry. That's why she.
I'm very teary, so I'm sorry, but see, this doesn't usually happen to me. So, you know, when God's moving, when He's moving, and He says to the pastor, "Momento." He's moving. It's like the bus is ready to pull out. And some of you probably think the bus already left, but God's so patient. He's so patient. And he's saying, we're moving. Get on the bus. It's time to get on the bus. And when God says momentum, his momentum, think about it. Think about God's momentum. He spoke words, and the earth was created. And then he said, oh, and stars too. Momentum, when God says it, get on the bus, get ready to go. And watch what's going to happen in this city because of a place like Calvary Gospel. What's Calvary Gospel? What's New York Mills? To God, it's important. Utica is important to him, and so are every one of you. And when he says it's time, it's time. And I'm excited for you. I'm excited for what God is going to do through each person here. You don't think you're a world changer, but I'm telling you, you are. When you do what God says and you move with him, you change the world. You change your world and you change the world of the people around you, your family. So move with God today. Thank you.
Good. Wonderful. I always like following Joanne because it's like, now what do? You should just pray and that's that. It's always fun to be here in Utica. It's like coming back home to me. We've lived here for so long, right, Joanne? We were in this area. We pastored in Herkimer for 18 years, and we just love coming here because the food is, I gained 10 pounds in 2 days because we've just been eating our way through Utica. And all sorts of different wonderful food. You know, we live in Rochester now, but you can't find food. It's a much bigger city, but listen, Utica's got it for food, for sure, and the people. We love the people. Got to have the people, right? But we love it. It's like coming back home. It's a little. And hey, the whole momentum thing. You know, I'm not a physics major by any stretch of the imagination, but momentum is mass. Momentum is mass in motion. There's actually a math equation for it. When you take mass and you multiply it by velocity, that's going to equal how much momentum you have. And why is that important? Well, it's important because the more mass we have, the more people that God gathers together, and the more velocity, the more those people are lined up in one direction and moving, right? That's velocity is kind of a directional move. The more power, the more momentum you're going to have. So the more people that God can gather together and bring into unity in alignment with a vision that God gives someone, We can do extraordinary things. I think one of the reasons why we don't see extraordinary things happen is because the church is so disjointed. You know, we have mass, but we don't have everybody moving in the same direction. And so when Pastor talks about power and momentum, that power will come when God speaks to your heart. Every person individually, God's going to speak to you. His Holy Spirit is amazingly creative to speak to you about what it is your personal role is, your personal calling. And then when that happens, you get momentum from that. You get power from that. Because when the living God begins to speak to you, you know, when he's not just a concept, when he's not just an idea or some religious thing that you kind of talk about and read about, when God starts talking to you, he becomes real. He becomes tangible. And something happens inside. When he speaks to you, you know, when there's a still small voice talking to you, the Creator talks to you. I don't know. I know for me, it gets me up. It wakes me up. It gives me power, and it starts me moving. Now, when one person moves, it's not all that powerful. But when this whole group begins to move, because God's able to take your individual calling and put it together. He puts us all together, united, to form momentum. And that momentum gives us tremendous power. Because the momentum knocks things over, right? It's just, you know, even big things get knocked over when you have momentum, especially when you have mass and momentum. Then you're not stoppable. And so what I hear God saying is he wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to your heart. He wants the God inside of you. If you're a follower of Jesus, you have God living inside you. Think about that. That you're the home of God. It's incredible. Now, you might not feel worthy for that. I know I don't feel worthy for that, you know, but that's what he says. That somehow he spills out over heaven and he says, I'm going to make you my temple. I mean, that's got to fire you up just a little bit, you know, that he's in there, you know. You having a bad day, hey, he's in there. God's in there, you know, he's in there. And he's talking to us, and he's speaking to us. The church, Christ followers, we should be the most creative individuals in the world, because we have the original Creator living inside of us and talking to us, and we're talking to him. And so there, any problem that comes up, we should have amazingly creative ideas to conquer those problems, no matter what they are, personal problems, family problems, career problems, because we've got God on our side. This city can be turned upside down, inside out, absolutely transformed, because a group, any group that has God living inside of them and calling them and energizing them and empowering them, that there's no telling what God can do in this city to revive it, to restore it, to transform it. And I think it's coming. You know, you see lots of roadways. I come in, everything's different. New roads are happening. And I think that's going to happen in the spirit too, that God is going to do amazingly new things. So you got to get ready for new things, because God is going to do new things. Just like you see new things happening in the city, he's going to do the same in the spiritual realm also. So you have to get ready for change. You have to get ready for him to do it a new way, a different way. You know, it's the same message. That's different methods. And to reach the generation that we're after, it's going to take some new things. So anyway, I wanted to talk to you about something different, actually. what time do we have? You don't have clocks around, Tom. 11:15. So I'm doing good. Yeah. Because I wanted to talk to you about God wants us. You know, because I don't know, maybe everybody here knows God and stuff, but I don't know if everybody does, but he wants us to make ourselves at home in him. You know, because a lot of times we are so nervous about God. I don't know. Do you ever feel that way? I was brought up in a religion where you had to get it all just right. You know, you had to kneel at a certain time, stand up at a certain time, say certain things, and I was really not good at it. But I was really, most of the people were very fearful of God, And you certainly didn't make yourself at home with God. I mean, it was kind of like a white tie, white glove affair when you were going to go meet with God, you know, and you better have yourself together or you're going to be dust, you know what I'm saying? And if God didn't make you dust, some of the religious people would make you dust. I mean, they'd beat the living daylights out of us, you know what I'm saying? So I was brought up where God was not love. He was to be feared at all costs. But that's not God. The God that we know, the God who is truly God, what he really says is, listen, I want you to make yourself at home in me. In fact, he so much wanted to become approachable that he actually came down here. Jesus came down to earth to say, hey, listen, I want to show you that my Father wants to be able to communicate with you. I want to eat with you. I want to sleep. We're going to sleep together. We're going to, you know, he took his disciples 3 years. They were doing it all together to show that, hey, I'm approachable. And there's a place in the Bible, in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in the book of John, the 15th chapter. I just want to read you a little bit of it, just to get an idea of what Jesus... And listen, these words of Jesus, and 24 hours later, he would be on the cross. He was going to be executed, and he pretty much knew this, but this is what he told. Some of his last words, some of the last words that he's going to say to these disciples, he's telling them now. 24 hours before he's going to get executed, he says this to these guys. He says, listen, he says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch in me that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the true vine. You're the branches. If you remain in me, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you'll bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Now, I could go on, but there's a particular word just in this short, maybe 3 or 4 verses that kept repeating itself, didn't it? Did you hear it? There was a particular, you just heard that remain, remain. Remain, you know. Now, it wasn't because God had a stuttering problem or Tourette's or something, you know, where he didn't know what else to say. When you see a word that keeps getting repeated, God's trying to get something across to us. What he's saying is, I want you to remain in me. And the word could be abide in me, or you could translate that, I want you to dwell with me, or you could translate that, I want you to be with me, I want you to be present with me, and I want you to walk with me, I want you to always be on a journey with me, and you know, so it's this. I want you to be with me. That's what Jesus is saying here. And he's in this passage about 10 times. He says, I want you to make yourself at home with me. And you know, I don't know about you, but when, you know, like when I was in college, like you know, many many years ago, I was in college. I went to school in Oswego. I lived down in the New York metropolitan area, and. When I would go home, because the food at college was like, whoa, bad, you know, bad, you know, it was bad. And so when I would go home, it was a 6-hour trip, and I would just be thinking about the food, you know. And when I would get home, I'd go in. Oh, these guys were making me nervous. I thought I was doing something wrong. I got these guys marching down the aisle, you know. Yeah, I thought they were both the Russian guys that were taking me away, you know. I thought, yeah, here we go. What did I do wrong now? But anyway, that's okay. When I would get home, I would right in the door, no matter what time it was. My mom, she was an Italian, she was about 4'11", but she'd always come running out into the living room, Joey, you know, just greet me and right into the kitchen. Because that's where Italians live, in the kitchen. Isn't that right? You know, Marietta, you're here, right? They live in the kitchen. The kitchen is the place of love, and it's a place of where everything happens. And my mom would have everything there for me. My dad also wasn't Italian, but he kind of wanted to be, because he adopted the Italian culture. Because my dad would go get me all the food that I loved. He'd get me the best cold cuts, the salami, the prosciutto, and then he would get the... imported Italian provolone, which is, oh, I'm telling you, the oil would be oozing out of it. There'd be these little white specks in it that you knew it was right from Italy. The bread, I would say it's the best Italian bread I've ever eaten, but the Pileggi's, their son makes something that I have to say that it's just as good, okay? But, you know, it would all be there. And the mozzarella, it would be fresh. The stuff you get in the store, they shouldn't even call it mozzarella, all right? Because this mozzarella would still be warm. You make mozzarella with very hot water. And so this mozzarella that my dad would get, it would still be warm and oozing with the milk that's in there. Oh, it would be unbelievable. And we would just eat. You see, because whatever Joey wanted, the meatballs. Could I tell you about the meatballs? I mean, my mom would make meatballs always fried on the stove in a cast iron pan. It's really the only way you're supposed to make them, you know. And then she would take some, put them in the sauce or the gravy, and some she would put in a little Hall's bowl. That would tell you how old I am that I know what a Hall's bowl is on the stove. They would not be in the sauce. First time my wife came, I threw her a meatball. You know, she's like, oh, you know, because we would eat them like popcorn. And my mom would always be like, they were so good out of the sauce. But we would start eating them, and my mom would be like, don't eat them, Joey. Don't eat them. There's not enough. You know, I said, Ma, you got like 6,000 meatballs here. I think we got enough. That was only in the upstairs refrigerator. Don't forget, every Italian's got a downstairs refrigerator where there's another 6,000 meatballs. You know what I'm saying? It's like, but if you could eat too many, there won't be enough for everybody to eat, which was just like ridiculous because there's so many of them. But this, you know, this, I was home, and the refrigerator was open to me 24/7, because I was home. I was there. I was there. I was their son, and it was all about me. Whatever I liked, that it was there. It was there for me. And it was like that every time, right, Joanne? We would go, because, and that's the way God wants it for us, is that we'd be home with Him. That we'd be dwelling with Him. That we would, you know, not be so, you know, uptight. Now, because sometimes people, you know, we treat God like our timeshare. You know, like we go to God for special occasions, or for a couple weeks we're hanging at the timeshare, and then we're back doing our own thing. Or maybe we give Him a weekly thing. You know, we just a weekly time. That's not home. That's not family. I know for some of us, our dysfunctional families, maybe it is like that, but a truly healthy family, we want to be with them. We're hanging with them. We're with them. We want to be with them. And it doesn't cut it to just have God at the timeshare. He's saying, listen, I want to be with you every day. That's why a few chapters earlier, Jesus even, again, right before His death, He was washing their dirty, disgusting feet. Because back then, they weren't clean. Now our feet are clean, but back then they weren't. Jesus is saying, you can be so at home with me that you can come in with your dirty feet, your dirty stuff, your stuff that just isn't right. You don't have to have your Sunday best on, because on Sunday we're doing our best thing. We're just worshiping, we're praying, we're giving some money, we're in good right now, right? We're feeling good. But it's on Tuesday when you've done a few things wrong, you know, that He still wants you to be at home with Him. Even when you've done stuff wrong. I sure hope I can be at home with God when I've done stuff wrong. Because ask Joanne, I'm doing stuff wrong all the time, you know. I still need a Savior, right? I mean, I still need a Savior every day. And Joanne will attest to that. She'll testify that Joe needs a Savior every day. But every one of us, we all need a Savior every day. That's why Jesus is saying here, dwell with me, abide with me, hang with me, be normal with me, He's saying. Let's be family. We're hanging out on our dirty t-shirts with some sauce hanging off it and stuff. You know, like, that's what family is, and that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, listen, all day, every day, you know, make yourself at home with me. It's the vine and the branch thing. You know, it's that you have to be like totally hooked up and getting every nutrient, right? When that sap is flowing, that what Jesus is saying is be so connected that you're getting all that I'm giving, all that's flowing through me, because it flows through Him into the branch. And if you're not connected, right, you're not totally connected, you're going to be missing out on some of the good stuff. And so when we kind of treat God like a vacation home, we're not going to be as fruitful as He wants us to be. Because in this passage, He says, the good news is, in this passage, is He says, you're going to bear fruit. Then he says, you're going to bear even more fruit. And then I think he says at the end, you're going to bear, you know, fruit that's going to last a long, long time, maybe forever. So it's the fact we're going to be productive. We're going to be, he wants to produce out of us. This isn't made up. That's what he says. Fruit, more fruit, fruit that's going to last. And listen to the benefits of being abiding in him. That, listen, he's got, that we have the Holy Spirit, right? We have Jesus here because he says he's the vine. And the Father is taking care of all this. So we have the Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit is right in this chapter. I didn't read it, but he's actually in 14 right beforehand and a little bit later on in the chapter. We've got the Trinity in this family. And that when you're abiding, when you're dwelling, when you're making yourself at home with Jesus and the Father, then you have the whole Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are working on your behalf. And what are they working on? To make you to be able to have really good outcomes. Because fruit is the outcome of our life. And Jesus is saying, listen, I've got my whole family working on this thing in your life. Do you have something that you're struggling with? Are you kind of feeling like it's the times that you're just spinning your wheels, that it's just not happening? Or maybe you're in one of those valleys, or maybe you're feeling like you're out of gas, that maybe you're feeling like you're a misfit in the kingdom of God, like you're just, that, you know, it's over for you, you've done too many things wrong. But Jesus is saying, no. And matter of fact, he's saying, listen, I've got everybody in heaven, the biggest wigs of the big wigs are working for you to be fruitful. More fruit. Even more fruit. That's what he's saying. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are working on your behalf to make you fruitful so that you'll overcome whatever it is you got to overcome, break through whatever it is you got to break through, get over whatever sin you committed, because that's what he's all about, cleansing us from sin so that you can have the best outcomes that the kingdom of God would want you to have. They're all there for us. And then, listen, it's not just that benefit. Jesus, I didn't read it to you, but if you read just a little more, he actually says, I'm calling you friends, he says. That's right. It almost seems sacrilegious. I was going to take a drink of water there. I don't know what happened. Doesn't it almost seem sacrilegious, like we shouldn't, like, treat God as a friend? It seems a little too, I don't know, what, familiar, you know? But Jesus said, I'm calling you friends. It's amazing. Not only that, Jesus said, I chose you. So, like, we didn't choose him. You're not here by accident. He chose you. And if you read the Bible a little bit in the book of Ephesians, which comes a little after, like, you got to keep going to the back of the book to get to Ephesians. And in the book of Ephesians, there's a guy named Paul who wrote these, right? And he told us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, you were chosen before the foundation of the world. I like that. That I'm not, because sometimes, to be honest with you, sometimes I thought that when I got saved, that God was upset about it, like it was a mistake. You know, you ever feel that way? Like, you know, how did he get saved? You know what I'm saying? Like, but no, he thought this thing through, that you would be part of the family. It says he chose you in him before the foundations of the world. And it says that we would be holy and blameless in his sight, but he also says he adopted us, which I love that. I love the fact that I'm adopted because, listen, when my children were born, I had no choice. Whatever came out, they were mine. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, let's get best two out of three. Or can I look through the nursery and see if there's a better one here? You know? No, there was none of that. But with adoption, God knows everything that I've done wrong. Everything you've done wrong. All of my years, and I've done a lot wrong. And then he knows everything that I'm doing wrong right now. And then he knows everything I will do wrong. But he still says, Joe, I'm choosing you and I'm adopting you to be one of my sons. And he does the same thing for you. Knows all of the stuff that you've done wrong, all the thoughts maybe that you're having right now, that maybe this guy should just shut up so we can get out of here, all the stuff that you're doing wrong right now, and all that you will do wrong. But he still says, I chose you. And he says, I chose you to make you a friend of mine, and I've chose you, and have given you an assignment. Jesus says, I've appointed you to bear fruit, fruit that'll remain. Every one of us, every one of us is going to bear fruit, have good outcomes, because Jesus wants us to. All right, so, I mean, that's the good news. Now, there is some bad news here, because Jesus does say, the people who produce fruit, all right, so if you're on a roll and things are going well, he says, I'm going to prune you. You know, I'm going to chop off some of the vine. And it's like, whoa, what's that all about? I thought I was doing good here. How come I'm getting chopped up here? You know, it's like, it seems counterintuitive, doesn't it? Like, if I'm doing good, but you got to get this, because if we don't understand something, see, if we don't understand that sometimes, like, things that happen, even like negative things, or it can seem like a negative thing. If we think God is mad at us, then it's hard to be at home with Him. I mean, when I was very young, I was a senior in college, and my dad sold me very cheaply a 1972 Pontiac Catalina. Big American car, big, you know. It was a 400 cubic inch engine. It had like 285 horsepower, 4-barrel engine on it. And he gave it to a 20-year-old young man with attention deficit disorder, okay? And so that night, and I didn't know Jesus. Like I told you, I was brought up in a very religious type of a thing. That first night I had it, I went to a bar with a bunch of friends, and then came out of the bar and thought, you know, I thought I was, you know, Aunt Mario Andretti. I'm really showing my age now. And I tried to make a 90-degree turn at about 45 miles an hour, and that doesn't work in a 1972 Pontiac Catalina. And I slid off the road and slammed the car right into a tree and totaled it out. My friends got out of the car and they hitchhiked to the next bar. That's where they were. And I had to somehow tell my father, but I didn't tell my father. I mean, I told him, but then we didn't speak for like 3 weeks. And my mom, you know, she said, Joey, you better say something to him. I said, I'm not saying anything to him. I mean, you know, he's going to kill me, you know, because he was like not, you know, he's like looking at me and but no, you got to say something to him. You know, you got to tell him, I'm not doing that. Who knows what's going to happen if I say anything more to him, you know, because he was steaming. And so, see, when I knew my dad was mad at me, it was like, I was like, you know, hands off. I avoided. I tried to stay out of the house as much as possible because he was mad at me. And this can happen to us in our Christian home with God if we think he's mad at us, because he's a perfect father. If we think he's mad at us, we produce distance. See, it's not just our sin or our mess up that produces the distance. It's our mentality that if I'm a bad boy, I'm going to put space between me and God because he's going to punish me. And now I know pruning isn't about sin, but I think that God will take anything. In fact, he says it. He can take anything and use it for good and transformation. But the point I'm making is sometimes he brings something into our life that like hinders, weakens, kind of weakens us. Like I have my friend Bob Sorge, who can't speak. He sang at our wedding. But right after our wedding, for the last 35 years, Bob hasn't been able to sing and hardly speak. And out of that weakness, though, came tremendous blessing, because Bob writes books. He knows sides of God that sometimes I don't feel like I even know God when I talk to Bob, because God took that pruning, and I don't understand it, but God in the pruning of Bob, much more fruit came out. And I don't get that, but the point is, Bob didn't run from God. He ran to God, and he embraced God, and he talked to God. He talked to God about what is it you're doing here. And see, that we need to be there doing that same thing, always making our home in God, even in the pruning times, because it's in the pruning times that he's trying to get even more fruit is what he wants from us. And not be afraid of God at any point in time, because he's a loving, loving father. One last thing that I would say about connected to the vine. In the pruning, let me say this about pruning. If you don't prune, you get a mess in the vines. You know, we live out in the Finger Lakes area where we see vines But they prune those things back. Otherwise, you get lots of dead wood and wasted energy. What they're doing with those vines is they're pruning them so all the energy goes into producing the best grape possible. And so is that my grandson making noise? I love this. He doesn't get to hear me very often, so he's allowed to make noise while I'm doing it. It makes it even better. Listen, he's cutting back so that all of our energy is focused in on what he's trying to produce out of us. And, you know, I travel. My job is traveling to churches and speaking at churches and working with church leaders. And one of the things that happens to churches is they get a lot of dead wood in them. Because the people in the church, they decide that we're not going to change. We're not going to be pruned. We're gonna stay the way we are. And then what you have in that church is just a whole lot of vines that were good at one time in their day, but now they're just sucking the energy right out of the church. They're taking the energy for what used to be, and there's no energy for what needs to be. And that church just kind of is stagnant. There's no life. There's very little fruit. They're just living off of what was. And there's only just so much for what's now, but there isn't going to be anything for what needs to be. And they're sacrificing that next generation on the altar of what they think should be. And we need to get ourselves on the altar of pruning and say, you know what? I'm willing to be pruned. Because he's not going to take the old people and prune us out. He's going to prune us in order to make it so that we're good for what is going to be. So that we're not wasting energy on what was. Why should we waste energy on what was? That was. That was for us. That was for our generation. But there has to be a pruning for the next generation. And I want to be relevant. I want to be energetic. I want to have a harvest in the next generation. And I think if we allow ourselves to be pruned, that to take things, you know, because sometimes I listen to the songs and I'm like, can they sing one song I know? You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, can we do it long enough for me to get to know it? You know, I go to a church where, you know, for 2 weeks they do the no song. And it's like, oh, that was great. And it's like, I go back the third week and I'm thinking, I hope they do that song. But now it's gone. It's like, where was it? They're like, what song was that? Oh, yeah, that was 2 weeks ago, man. What, you know, let's get with it here, you know, because, you know, times were just flying by. But we got to be, I want to have a harvest in the next generation. I know you do too, and so we have to get, you know, that mentality. Do I have time for it? Oh, it's 11:38. Are we okay on time? No, we're doing good. One other thing is that, listen, when we're at home, I'm kicked back, I'm relaxed, and you know, vines. You don't when you go through like a garden, you don't hear the grapevines. They're not, oh, I gotta grow, you know, oh, I just gotta grow, I'm so nervous, I'm not growing, and, you know, the farmer's gonna be mad at me, you know, oh my goodness, what are we gonna do, you know, it's not, you don't hear them whining, complaining, you don't hear them have anxiety, you know, nothing, they're growing, because when you're where you need to be, you're gonna grow. This doesn't have to be a real struggle in that. Jesus said, right, come unto me, all you are, you know, weary, heavy laden and stuff, and I'll give you rest. You know, yoke up with me. The hardest part is staying yoked to him. The hardest part is staying connected. And once we're connected, you're going to bear fruit. Just stay connected. And how do we do that? We stay connected. You know, it's the typical things, but I hate to even say it sometimes. We stay connected by, you know, like reading the Bible, but reading it in a way that says, talk to me, God. And not reading it to say, I got to get this done. It's my devotions. It's reading it that somehow Holy Spirit talked to me in this. Give me something new, a new perspective. And praying, reading and praying. But praying is talking to God. But it's more importantly, letting him answer back. Actually ask a question and listen for an answer. It'll revolutionize your life. And the voice, sometimes we're looking for this reverb, echoing voice. Most of the time, God will speak in the voice that you normally hear your mind speak. If you ask him a question and wait in silence, for inside of you will come a voice of God speaking to you That voice is the voice of God. He'll actually talk to you about what's going on in life, whatever the question might be. That's prayer. We've made prayer into a ritual, into a got to get it done, into a checkbox. But abiding is a conversation. Abiding is reading the Bible in a way that's a conversation, not just to get it done, not just to memorize, but a conversation where you're hearing stuff like that. And then the other way to stay in at home with God is with the people of God, having some people in your life that really, truly are brothers and sisters in Christ. I think those three things can absolutely revolutionize your life. So, you know, that's about all I have for you today. And then we're gonna do these guys here, right? So I'm going to turn this over to Pastor Tom, and he'll take it from here. Thanks so much. You were great.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Wow. You got to take a breather. Praise God. Hey, we have something very special. I want you guys to hang in. Thank you, Pastor Joe. We've been talking about that same word that you gave. And Joanne, you always come in. Joanne, I've learned, is like a heat-seeking missile. She's not going to sugarcoat it. She's not going to prepare you for it. She's going to come and give the word of the Lord to us. And it's always encouraging. It's not condemning. It's exciting. It's vibrant. It's alive. And I just love these two. Thank you so much. Thank you, Pastor Joe and Joanne. Love you. Right now, I'm going to try to get through this without crying emotionally. So I'm going to try to. Today, we are going to honor Ben and Oleg. Come on up. These two young men have been, and then I'm going to call up Bernard and Sharon and Pastor Joe and Joanne. But I want you to know why we're doing this, what is happening. These two young men, people would come up to me and say, "Hey, we need youth leaders, we need youth pastors, we need someone to take our youth group, we need someone to take care of our kids." And people would come to me, parents would come to me, and I said, "You know, I'm not your youth pastor, but God is going to bring to us the men and women of this church that is going to minister to your children." And Ben and Oleg, after a couple years, they came up to me and said, "You know, I really feel God has called us to minister to the youth." And I looked at them and I wanted to kiss them because it's like, finally, someone heard the Lord. And these guys have been like my sons, and for their parents, I'm not taking them away from you. They love you guys. But man, my wife and I go home and, you know, they're our sons. We've poured our life into these young men, and I was very patient, as Oleg would always say. "Pastor Tom, you were very patient with us." But I'm going to let, quickly, Richard share something. I'm going to bring Brother Bernard and Sharon up, Pastor Joe and Joanne, and we're going to pray for them. We're going to honor them. But today, they are getting their license to minister through Elam Fellowship as pastors. I'm going to read this. "Preach the word, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of the ministry," 2 Timothy 4, 2 and 5. "This certificate is a license to minister. This is to certify that Ben and Oleg, after a satisfactory relationship of Christian experience and views of Bible doctrine, was duly granted a license to preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ by a council of ministers of the Elam Fellowship of Lima, New York. On this, this has been given on the 22nd day of September 2019, and it's been signed by our President Chris Baugh and our General Secretary Phil McNeil." This morning, these two men have taken the next step in their life, and they are given the license to minister, recognized by our Elam Fellowship, where we have our credentials. I am very proud of them. Come on, Richard. Richard wants to share something, and then I want Bernard and Sharon. Come on up. Bernard and Sharon. Joe and Joanne, you can come on up. I'm going to have to stop talking because this will be very long. So
Stop talking.
Stop talking.
Give me the microphone, okay? My turn. I promise I will not keep you long at all. Many years ago, we sat in the back. Some people remember it. And the young men, these two included, we'd go downstairs and we'd have kind of like Sunday school, Sunday morning service down there. I did not start that. It was a man by the name of Dane Austin. He started that. And I have to tell you, sometimes I would say to God, what good is this? Why am I doing this? But God said, continue. It bore fruit. Hallelujah. Not just here, but in other ways. So I would say to you, points I'm going to make today. I would say to you, one, if God is telling you to do something, keep doing it. You may not see the fruit. That doesn't mean God doesn't see the fruit. That doesn't mean there's not fruit. Because it doesn't say in John, you will see the fruit. It just says, I'll prune you so more fruit is made. So keep it that work up. Secondly, I cannot take full credit. I will not take an infinitesimal amount of credit. Because I remember Ben saying one time, I'm going to get you in trouble, in between that time, that when he was having a hard time, I'll say, his grandmother was praying for him. And she said she was praying for him. And that's the second point. If you don't see things happen right away, God knows we don't think our children are where they should be. Keep praying. Pray, pray, pray. They can't get away from our prayers. Couldn't get away from his grandmother's prayers. Look at him now. Alfred Tennyson, the British poet, once said that more things come about by prayer than this world even dreams of. So let your voice rise like a fountain day and night. I learned that quote years ago, and it stays with me. So one, keep working for God. It's Him that knows what's going on. And two, pray.
I'm just going to say this, Pastor Joe and Joanne have raised my wife and I up in ministry. And I've told you that. And today is very special to us because I feel like these are my spiritual sons. These are their spiritual grandparents, but this is the spiritual great grandparents that have raised us up, Pastor Joe and Joanne. And so this is very special to me today to be able to have all of us, this generation, be a part of this generation.
So I'm your great-grandfather. I can say that two different ways, right? I'm looking at the scripture in light of what you're being presented. Preach, preach, preach. But don't preach yourself. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. To me, that is interpreted this way. There's a lot of feeling of being out of season, but you're to function as though you're in season, even when it feels like it's out of season. Because we don't go by feeling, we go by calling. And the calling has with it the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I want to encourage you to drink and drink and drink of Him. For out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. God has gifted you, and He has placed you in this season of life so that you will carry the torch into another time. And may you be faithful in the little things, and let no man despise your youth, but be an example of the believer. And we are proud of you, and we bless you, and we give you our support in every way we can. God bless you. Amen.
What a day. What a day. It's written in the courts of heaven. His will being fulfilled. The thought comes to me, and I've said it before here, that when the vision is to take the city, often the enemy will come and bring division. I appreciated Pastor Joe's and Joanne's concept and explanation of momentum, that it is, as we're together in this, and the Lord helps us to cry out for that, Lord, help me. Help me not to be snagged by division. Help me not to be snagged by a critical spirit. Help me, Lord, to be able to come higher and to see what you're doing. And as we gather together behind these today, the Lord will cause that momentum. The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, special forces. How can we do anything other than succeed in what God does as we humble ourselves, allow the prunings, allow the Lord to mend our hearts, meld our hearts together. And he can do it. Yay.
I appreciate the getting to know you a little bit at Wings, hopefully for the next year, 2 years, even more. But I think the word that comes to mind is that you're like sponges. You just want it. You just want more of God. And I just really appreciate that. And I'm looking forward, as grandparents, if they're not nice to you, come to our house. Because grandparents... you can do anything at our house. You can eat what you want. You can play with anything you want in the house. You can throw things. We're okay with it. So I feel honored to be your grandparents.
Awesome. Yeah, these guys are joined in our Wings program, which is like a mentoring program, a 3-year program, and they've been just great to be there, and I know they're getting a lot out of it. And we're going to be putting together, actually, if I can do a shameless plug here, we're putting together another cohort next year if, with your pastor's agreement. Some of you could also join into the Wings program. It's a 3-year program that we do up at up in Lima. I want to just say to you guys, God has his hand on you, and you know that's obvious. Every time I'm with you, you impart something to me, and it's very exciting to see what God's doing. I would say to you that as God's going to expand you. The ministry that he's going to give you is going to multiply, magnify. It's bigger than what you know. But to stay, you know, stay humble. Work on that. Because when things start growing, it's easy to become somebody that you're not. And, you know, one of my goals is always to be who God made me to be. And just, I want to be a normal Joe, because that's what relates to people. So no matter what goes on in life, stay humble, stay normal, stay true to who God made you to be. And that's not to put yourself down. Who God made you to be might be something huge. So I'm not saying put yourself down, but always remember who's in charge, who's filling you, who's empowering you. It's all about him. And that's what keeps us humble. And get people around you that will help you see the blind spots, see where you're going off to the left or the right, and aren't afraid to say something about it. But you guys have, you know, the call of God and fruitfulness. You know, that's really why I wanted to share this, because the fruitfulness is, you know, just all over you and in you, and it's just going to be. I'm just excited to see the adventure that God's going to bring you on to turn this city, you know, upside down. You're going to bring people into the kingdom. Because there's lost people. That's what it's all about. Never, you know, the cutting edge of God is the sickle, you know, for the harvest. And bring them in, because people need Jesus. So that's...
Praise God. I am very, very proud of them. And it's yours. License to minister the word of God. This is yours. Thank you. You guys are awesome. You know, I love you. Debbie, come on up. Debbie Graziano, come on up. Hey, we're going to pray. And I'm going to have some of our youth. Come on. Liana, Krill. Parents, if you guys want to come up. Sisters of these guys, come on. If you don't want to, that's fine. But I want you to come up. I want you to surround them. These are your children. We're going to pray here. Let's get in the middle. Come on, Pastor Joe and Joanne, Brother Bernard and Sharon. I want you to pray. I want you to prophesy whatever the Lord gives you. Come on. Come a little closer. Whoever, you know, whoever is connected, our youth, our Elevate, our Sprout, if you want to come up, Mark, come on. Come on, we'll wait. the family comes. And we're going to close after this, but this is really important that God is ministering. Hallelujah. Come on, Mom and Dad. These are our next pastors that God is raising up for your church. This is for your church. Hallelujah. I'm going to give this to Bernard first.
Lord, we come to you with these two that you have called, and we set them apart unto the ministry to which you have called them. And I pray, Lord, that the blessing of the Holy Spirit shall rest upon them, each individually, and you'll bring them into the fulfillment of your purpose, why you have called them, where you have called them, and where you are taking them. Fulfill your purpose in and through them, in the name of the Lord Jesus, who has called all of us into the kingdom. Now, Lord, I pray for this brother that the joy of the Lord shall rise up in the midst of his being, and he shall dance before the Lord as David danced, and there shall be a sign and a wonder to those who look on, and they will wonder what is going on in this man's life because of the joy of the Lord that springs forth from him. So, Lord, I pray that you will anoint him with the joy of the Lord and bring him into a responsibility of bringing others into the joy of the Lord. And don't be afraid to laugh in the presence of God, because you will find that there are things that are beyond your understanding. And even as Sarah laughed at the word of the Lord, so you shall find yourself laughing because of the impossibility of that which God has called you into. And be assured that the laughter is of him, because he knows that you cannot understand all that he has for you. So laugh, laugh, and laugh, Sir Isaac, in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And may the Lord bless this one with the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you have placed him in this body for a purpose, to show them what grace is all about. So I pray that the ministry of grace will be poured out upon him, and he will find your favor in such a way that he will wonder at the grace of the Lord. He will wonder at the wonderful grace of the Lord. And he will wonder at the unspeakable grace of the Lord. And I pray, Lord, that as he goes into the dark places of this world, that the light of the glorious gospel will shine from him and through him, and you will give him a word of life in the midst of the darkness in which he finds himself going. And I pray, Lord, that the grace of the Lord Jesus will rest upon him with a grace from you. Hallelujah. Favor from you. And I pray that the anointing of the Holy Ghost will rest upon him in such power that he will not be able to resist it, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Lord, we thank you that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that strongholds will become coming down. We thank you, Lord, for the prophetic word already, the joy of the Lord being strength, the grace of our God accomplishing the impossible. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for out of their mouths shall indeed flow rivers of living water, living waters. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your prevailing presence, even here, flooding this place. We thank you, Lord, for revelation that will spring up in the hearts of individuals throughout this congregation. Oh, God, we thank you that you're raising up a people who know the joyful sound. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We bless you in your precious name, even for the children that will be brought up within this time, understanding and sensing your Holy Spirit at work in their lives. In your name we pray. Hallelujah.
Father, I ask today that these two young men would learn to hear your voice. Lord, that your voice would be clear, their ears would be open. And Lord, when they hear you, they will act upon your word. So Lord, make them keen listeners of the voice of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for them, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Father. I ask that your grace be upon them to attract others, that these two would be multiplying leaders, that you would bring into their path those that they will raise up on also, Lord, that they would be disciplers. They'd be discipled, and they would disciple others, and they would teach others to disciple others. And Father, there would be just an exponential type of growth in their ministry. Give them favor, Lord, with those that they're snatching from the Lord, right from the right on the edge of hell. That they'd be give them favor to snatch them, but also that they would be able to disciple them. That transformation would come, and more would be added to the kingdom. Through their ministry and with leaders, Lord. We ask that there would be leaders among them to do the work that they're doing. Give them favor to be multiplying leaders.
Thank you. Do you have anything? You want to pray? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for these men that you have born, that you have adopted into your family. God, thank you. I thank you, Pastor Debbie and I, Sister Debbie and I, thank you, Lord, that we are honored to be able to do your work. Lord, that we hear your voice, that we are a part of raising up another generation, that we are a part of doing your work. But God, thank you for leaving our hearts open to wait on you to say, I found the men. I found the men. I found these two men. Even though they're young, even though they're hungry, you will direct them. I will direct their paths. I will provide the correct food. I will nourish them. I will open up doors. I will give them favor. Even in the valley, I will cover them when it rains. I will give them the strength through my power, through my grace. And I just thank you, Father, for being here at Calvary Gospel. I thank you. It's an honor for us to sit under your leadership, first of all. Your leadership, first of all. And say, God, we only want to do what you've called my wife and I to do. You called us here for a purpose. And we always said we will stay in your purpose. And Lord, thank you that this is some of the fruit of the purpose of what we're standing ground in. We're standing firm on you, Lord God. And I thank you, God, for the families, the parents, God, and the grandparents that have prayed in countless of hours and days and months and years. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in Calvary Gospel. God, this is just the beginning of what you're creating. I will build my church, you said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. You are raising up men and women warriors in this church. They don't even realize it yet. But God, you have planted it in their heart. You have given them the passion to serve you, to cry out to you, Lord, to reach out, Lord. And I, God, thank you, Father. It's an honor to be here. Even though we may not see it in the visible, but God, we need to get the eye of the invisible. We need to see what you see beyond these four walls, beyond the age, beyond being a woman or a man or how young they are, what their past look like. But God, God, as the pastor, as the shepherd of this sheep, Lord, continue to have me see the invisible. Lord, what you see in these young people. Lord, the ones you're even raising up next into leadership, Lord. I think of Aaliyah and Kirill and Sprout, Lord God, and our leaders all through Kids Connect and our children. I think of Alina and our worship team and Mark and Dina and Liana and Olina, Adelina, and all the ones you're bringing into the fold. This is your kingdom. This is your church, Lord God. God, I cry out to you that you would open up their hearts, Lord. They would see the invisible that you've called them to, God. These aren't just two isolated men that you've called. You are calling this church, young and old. You are calling this church. This is just the beginning of the momentum, the word that you gave me this morning before coming out. This is just the beginning. This is just the force. This is just the forward motion that you have created, God. And I thank you for that. We will move where you move. We will go where you go. We will not be someplace that your presence is not. And I pray for all the other young people that we've been working with in the leadership and just, Lord, let them see the invisible, the things that we can't see in the physical. I thank you for our leaders of this church that have stood ground with me and Debbie as we came. Every leader of this church. And I thank you for this congregation. You know, God. We love this church.
Thank you.
We love your people. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Well, we got some thank you, everyone. Let's just give them a hand. We've got some fellowship downstairs. Come on downstairs, fellowship, and just kind of congratulate them. Thank you, church.